Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, we're still thinking about that massive 10-alarm fire this weekend in East Cambridge. Yesterday, we talked with one of the survivors, 39-year-old Dana Fuller. His family had owned and lived in one of the houses that was destroyed by the fire. They'd lived there since 1930. And then on Saturday, in a matter of minutes, his house and 16 others on Berkshire Street were in flames.
I don't hear any sirens, so I call 911 to make sure. So within a matter of 2 minutes, the whole neighborhood, I mean, 3, 4, 5 homes at least were on fire. The flames had shot across the street. And, you know, I'm frantically panicking, calling 911, get here. You know, watching, within a minute, my house was on fire. The houses across the street were on fire.
Well, 25 fire departments responded to the call. Joining us now with the latest on the investigation into Saturday's fire is Cambridge Fire Department Assistant Chief Gerard Mahoney. Chief Mahoney, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Well, first of all, I just have to say, job well done to you and all the other firefighters that responded to Saturday's call. I'm going to ask you in a minute more about what that was like, but can you give us anything on the latest on the investigation? Are we closer to understanding what caused the huge inferno?
So our investigation, we have a Cambridge Fire Department Fire Investigation Unit, and they work very closely with the Massachusetts State Police under the direction of the Massachusetts State Fire Marshal's Office. And for this fire, the State Fire Marshal's Office actually reached out and brought in some resources from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms based on the sheer size of the loss, the size of the fire. So the fire investigation actually began, I would say, Saturday evening before the fire was actually fully under control.
Mm-hmm.
And fire investigation is a very kind of detailed scientific thing. It's not one of these, people see crime solved on television in 60 minutes.
Right.
It's nothing like that. So fire investigation today relies on a lot of forensic evidence as well as interviews. And one of the big things today is with social media, we have been getting several videos and photos forwarded to us from citizens, neighbors, people that were in the area, and those have been extremely helpful in determining the cause and the spread of the fire.
Interesting.
So at this point in time, the State Fire Marshal's Office issued a press release yesterday where they feel quite confident to rule out actually arson.
Mm-hmm.
They feel that this is probably somewhat accidental in nature. And we feel very confident that the fire began in or adjacent to the first building that was on fire, which was the as people have been referring to it, the building under renovation at 35 to 37 Berkshire Street.
Right.
So I would estimate that we'll have something more definitive probably in a couple of weeks. The reporting of fire investigation results is a very detailed thing, and this one in particular has to be very detailed because we're dealing with multiple property owners, multiple insurance companies. This is going to wind up, I'm sure there'll be some subrogation law cases down the road.
I mean, forgive me for jumping in here, but it was a big one. I mean, I didn't even know that it could go as high as 10 alarms. I mean,
sure. Yeah.
I guess we're lucky to not see fires that huge around here too often.
Right.
I mean, you're a veteran firefighter. I mean, what was it like for you to witness a fire on this scale? Had you seen anything this big before?
I had not. I commented to some folks over the past few days that the closest thing that resembles what we saw here on Saturday was what occurred back in Lynn, back in, I think it was either 81 or 82, the Lynn conflagration. But that was somewhat different in that was, you know, large commercial mill buildings, some of which have been vacant for quite some time. You know, to see residential homes destroyed like they were was really kind of, you know, devastating in a sense really struck me. And you know, I was at the scene earlier today meeting with some folks, and some of our firefighters who were actually on duty on Saturday are actually the same group working today, and they stopped by to take a look and kind of reconstruct the scene for themselves. And And I said to one of them, I said, this isn't something you expect to see in Cambridge.
Right.
You know, this is, you just don't expect to see this in a community like this. But as tragic and as horrific as this whole event was, one of the messages we're trying to get out to people is that this could have been a hell of a lot worse. You know, middle of the night, winter conditions, snow on the ground, things like that. This could have been really, really catastrophic with loss of life.
Yeah.
So we're very, very fortunate.
I mean, we have to reiterate, I mean, zero loss of life. And I have to say, we saw a particular tweet on Twitter, which I think sort of captures a lot of people's feelings about this. The tweet read, 10 alarm Cambridge fire, 120 rescued, zero fatalities. Cambridge Fire Department, you're the real MVP. couldn't agree more.
Right.
Can you just tell us briefly, though? I mean, 25 different departments responded to the call. How does all that work together? How do you coordinate all that, especially in the midst of a huge catastrophic fire like this?
So we're part of a system called Metro Fire, which is an automatic mutual aid network, which consists of about 34 cities and towns and the Massachusetts Port Authority over at the airport. So we have a system in place where the mutual aid is actually automatic,
mm-hmm.
so that when one community transmits additional alarms for fire suppression, neighboring communities automatically are designated to respond either to the fire or to cover vacant stations. And it's a system that works really, really well. It's actually been imitated around the country by other places. And, you know, it's what really helps the situation on the fire ground itself is that we've made tremendous strides in our communications, particularly with radio interoperability, and I got to give credit where it's due. My boss, Chief Jerry Reardon, is at the forefront of various public safety interoperability committees throughout the country. He's actually in Washington, D.C. yesterday and today. and you know, we have the ability, our incident commander, Deputy Mike Morrissey, the other day had the ability to just pick up his radio, key the microphone, and talk directly to any fire department unit that was on the scene.
Wow.
From surrounding Boston. So,
well,
you know, we had companies there from Malden, Melrose, Medford. He could pick up the microphone, key the microphone, and speak directly to them without having to relay the message to a dispatch center.
So a little glimpse there into the coordination between all those 25 fire departments that responded to Saturday's fire. Gerard Mahoney, Cambridge Fire Department Assistant Chief, thank you so very much for joining us, and thank you again for all the work and your fellow firefighters did on the weekend. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
We'll be back. You too. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.